Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeev, Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss this week. One is the elections, which are going to be held on Tuesday, March 23rd. This coming Tuesday, March 23rd, will be the elections for the Israeli Knesset in Israel. And the fact that Itamar Ben-Gvir, the so-called Kahanist, has now said in an interview that he favors allowing open supporters of the Hamas terrorists to sit as part of the Israeli government coalition, to be part of the Israeli government coalition, and making all types of other left-wing statements. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And still people who call themselves Kahanas and call themselves right-wing continue to support this fraud. We're going to discuss that. And the second subject we want to discuss, and we're going to discuss the implications of the Israeli election in general, and unfortunately doesn't look very good. It looks like bad people are going to win. And what we have to do in order to try to save Israel from the consequences of this election result, which we're going to see on Tuesday. God forbid. I mean, I hope it will be a good result, but right now it doesn't look good. And the second subject we want to discuss is going to be the killing of 8 people at massage parlors in Atlanta by a 21-year-old white guy, which has been turned by the media and by the left into an example of white supremacy and how anti-Asian hate is being promoted by white supremacists, when in fact most of the violence and hatred directed against Asians in this country come from blacks and from the left. But first, let's start off with the Israeli election. There is someone who once called himself a Kahanist. He doesn't even call himself that anymore. Itamar Ben-Gvir. And this fraud, whom we always warned was a fraud, him and Baruch Marzel and other people who claim to be Kahanists in Israel who are not. Unfortunately, they betrayed the principles of our great leader, Harab Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. May the memory of this saint be immortalized. May God avenge his blood. Our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, who was the greatest Jewish leader in modern Jewish history. And his memory is being desecrated by people who pretend to be his followers and then take left-wing positions on the issues, positions that are completely, completely the opposite of everything he stood for, lived for, and gave his life for. And Itamar Ben-Gvir is an example of this. And he's running for the Knesset now. And unfortunately, according to the polls, he'll probably get in. He'll probably win a Knesset seat. The Knesset being the Israeli parliament. And he did an interview at something called Kenes Besheba. And I'm mentioning it to you in Hebrew and English so that people will know that this is not something I'm inventing over here. This is something that actually took place. It's called Kenes Besheba, which means the Besheba Conference. And at the Besheva conference, Itamar Ben-Gvir said that he would favor allowing Mansour Abbas, the head of the Ra'am party, which is an Arab party that supports the Hamas terrorists and that supports the destruction of Israel and that supports genocide against the Jewish people, that he would support allowing this terrorist Mahmoud Abbas and his Ra'am party to be part of an Israeli government coalition, to support the Israeli government from the outside, in order to give Benjamin Netanyahu, the other fraud, a majority government. In other words, Benjamin Netanyahu would be relying on the support of Hamas terrorists who are allowed to serve in the Israeli Knesset, who are not banned from running in the Israeli Knesset. Netanyahu would be permitted to rely on them for the survival of his government. And of course, that means you have to do what they tell you to do, and you have to give in to their blackmail. And this is something Itamar Ben-Gvir now wants to legitimize. Now, Netanyahu has already started this process. We've done programs about this in the past, which you can see if you look at some of our prior programs. You'll see that we've done programs on how Netanyahu is legitimizing bringing Arabs into his government and bringing Arabs into every facet of Israeli life, which of course endangers Israel's survival, because the Arabs, almost all of the Arabs, want to destroy Israel. They don't want a Jewish state. Israel is a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. The Muslim world does not even believe that the United States or Europe or countries outside the Muslim world have a right to exist. They believe that all the world must be Dar al-Islam, must be under the abode of Islam. And any country that's not under the abode, this is from the Quran and this is from the Hadith, this is Islamic teaching. Any country that is not part of Dar al-Islam is Dar al-Kharb, is under the abode of the sword, under the abode of war. Kharb is actually war in Arabic. And so they don't even believe, they believe the United States has no right to exist. And when Muslims come to the United States, they come with the dream of eventually taking over and Islamicizing the United States and Islamicizing Europe and Islamicizing every country that they go to. They believe the whole world will eventually be under the rule of Islam. They really believe that this will happen. This is what Muhammad said would happen in the Quran, and this is what they genuinely believe this day is going to come. And they believe that non-Muslims, if they are ever strong enough, non-Muslims should have no right to exist at all. They believe that all non-Muslims, and when I say they, I mean believing Muslims, all non-Muslims have to be either physically exterminated or forcibly converted. Now, temporarily, you can have a situation where the non-Muslims live under dihimi status, in other words, inferior status, where they pay taxes and are humiliated and live under inferior circumstances in Muslim countries as hated minorities. You can have that temporarily if the Muslims aren't yet strong enough to really completely impose their will upon everyone. But when the Muslims have a chance to impose their will upon everyone, they must exterminate or forcibly convert all non-Muslims. There is no place in the world for non-Muslims in a Muslim world. And the Muslims will eventually turn the whole world Islamic according to the Quran. And so if the Muslims believe that the entire world has to be Islamic, they certainly will never, never, never accept the existence of a tiny Jewish state named Israel that is right in the middle, smack in the middle of the Muslim world. And especially a tiny Jewish state that has humiliated the Muslims, because the Muslims tried to destroy Israel. They wanted to commit genocide against the Jews. They went to war against Israel the minute Israel was created in 1948. Seven Arab armies attacked Israel the day that Israel was created. Seven Arab armies immediately attacked Israel. The Arabs outnumbered the Jews 100-1 in that war. And the Jews beat the crap out of them, beat the living daylights out of them, which is a tremendous humiliation for the great, glorious Islamic world. Tremendous humiliation. They will never forget that. They will never accept the existence of a Jewish state. Even if they sign agreements like the United Arab Emirates and other countries have signed with Israel, those agreements are fraudulent agreements, are lies. They're part of Arab deception. Muhammad commanded the Muslims to lie to the infidels in the Quran, to deceive the infidels as he did. He pretended in the Quran to make peace with the tribe Quraysh and took other moves to pretend he was making peace, which you're allowed to do with the infidels. You're allowed to pretend you're going to make peace, and then you stab them in the back and surprise attack them. That is what Muhammad instructed the Muslims to do in every generation, and is what they're doing in this generation. Peace agreements between Israel, so-called peace agreements between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, are designed to give the United Arab Emirates Jewish technology and the ability to buy up Israel from within with massive Arab, Netanyahu calls it Arab investments, that we're going to have investments from Persian Gulf countries. Investments, they're going to buy up and take over every major Israeli company, all the major Israeli technology. This is going to be the worst threat to Israel's survival ever if this is allowed to continue. The Arabs always had a much better chance of destroying Israel through peace than through war. Always. Just swallow up the Jewish state through buying it up, or overwhelming the Jews, or having the Jews intermarry and mix in with you, swallowing, in other words, swallowing up the 6 million Jews that are in Israel, swallowing them up in the massive Arab world of over half a billion people, which surround Israel. The dozens of Arab countries that surround Israel with hundreds of millions of Arabs, and just 6 million Jews there, they can easily be swallowed up and assimilate and intermarry and disappear. And that is a strategy that is much more effective, actually, for the Arab Muslims, and much more dangerous to Israel than the strategy of openly trying to destroy Israel through physical war. But Itamar Ben-Gvir wants to give the Arabs the opportunity to serve in the Israeli government. And this is such a radical position, because nobody, even the left, never advocated this, because the Arabs have launched war after war promising to exterminate the Jews, push the Jews into the sea. They're stabbing Jews, murdering Jews all the time, violence against Jews, constantly preaching hatred against the Jews on all the Arab media, all the Arab countries, teaching in their schools the worst type of hatred. You know how they teach math in Arab schools, in Egyptian and Syrian and Jordanian schools, and schools in countries that have signed treaties with Israel? You know how they teach math? If there are 10 Jewish soldiers and you murder 5 of the Jewish soldiers, how many Jewish soldiers are left? That's how you teach subtraction. I mean, this is obsessive hatred of the Jews, praising of the Holocaust, praising of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. This is what the Arabs have been preaching for even before the creation of the State of Israel in 1948, and have called for the extermination of the Jews living in Israel for over 100 years now. So, even other political parties and politicians in Israel, even those phonies, and they're all phonies, all the politicians in Israel are phonies, all of them. Rabbi Kahana was the last honest one. This is a generation of liars and lies, and Rabbi Kahana was the last honest one. But even the other parties and politicians, as phony as they are, all attacked Ben-Gvir for this position. Gidon Sa'ar, from a party called Tikva Chadasha, which means the New Hope Party, he attacked Ben-Gvir, and he said that Netanyahu, this is clearly Netanyahu, is using Ben-Gvir as a pilot to see how people react and to pave the way for allowing these Arab terrorists into the government, which would be a new, terrible, very dangerous step in Israel, legitimizing Arab participation in the Israeli government. So even Gidon Sa'ar from the New Hope Party, from Tikva Chadasha, attacked Ben-Gvir for proposing letting the Arab terrorists in the Israeli government. Naftali Bennett and the Yamina Party, another phony party, but even they attacked Ben-Gvir. Even Avigdor Lieberman, sometimes he uses the Hebrew name Avigdor as his first name, sometimes he uses the name Ivet. But Ivet Lieberman, or Avigdor Lieberman, from his party, Yisrael Beiteinu, even he attacked Itamar Ben-Gvir on this. So the other parties, and they were all attacking Ben-Gvir for saying this. And then Ben-Gvir pretended he didn't say it, and the head of his party, the another phony, Bezalel Smotrich, came out and said that Ben-Gvir is running with Bezalel Smotrich. Bezalel Smotrich came out and said, no, we're against this. Baloney. They were testing the waters because they're preparing the way to legitimize bringing Arab terrorists into the Israeli government and into Israeli public life in a way that will very, very gravely endanger Israel. And that was at the Besheva conference. But Itamar Ben-Gvir didn't stop there. He then did an interview with Chatzot Shlosh Esre. Chatzot Shlosh Esre is the news station of Channel 13 in Israel. You have certain stations in Israel that have news. The main news stations are channels 11, 12, and 13. And on Channel 13, he did an interview. And the interview was about how he had become a moderate all of a sudden. And even the reporter was saying, you've become so moderate, you moderated, but can we really trust you? Can we really believe you? And Ben-Gvir was insisting, absolutely, I really am a moderate now. Moderate, by the way, means a traitor that will sell out your people and that will surrender your country to enemies that want to push you into the sea and exterminate you. That's what a so-called moderate means. instead of a Jew that stands up for what's right and prevents the enemy from becoming a majority of the Israeli population, from infiltrating into Israel and taking over and intermarrying with Jews and taking tens of thousands of Jewish girls and marrying Jewish girls and bringing them into Muslim villages and converting them to Islam. A true Jew opposes all of that. Not Itamar Ben-Gvir anymore. No, now Itamar Ben-Gvir, he said that he is against Rabbi Kahana's platform now. Itamar Ben-Gvir said that he doesn't support Rabbi Kahana's platform anymore. He said he disagrees with Rabbi Kahana's law outlawing Arab-Jewish intermarriage. In other words, Itamar Ben-Gvir is against the laws of the Torah now. Maybe he'll support the laws of the Quran instead. The laws of the Torah? Opposing Arab-Jewish intermarriage? This is the law of the Torah. And then he says he believes in a Jewish state. A Jewish state would be based on the laws of the Torah, a real Jewish state. Itamar Ben-Gvir is against the law like that, saying that you're Arabs and Jews. He says Arabs and Jews should be allowed to intermarry. He's against the law like that, the law that Rabbi Kahana proposed. And all the other laws Rabbi Kahana proposed to protect the Jewish people, Itamar Ben-Gvir now opposes them. What a phony, what a political prostitute. A low-life political prostitute. Itamar Ben-Gvir is not a Kahanist, he's not a right-winger. He's scum. He's scum. And I've told you other things about him. That he had someone who was... I told you a shocking story. I don't even want to go into it because it's so shocking people can't even believe it. That he had someone who was managing a forum that he was running for his for one of the prior political parties they formed. And they had a forum on the internet, and the guy they put in charge of, a guy who was mentally unbalanced, a Jewish guy who was mentally unbalanced, who supported Hitler in the Holocaust. And refused to remove him, even though he knew that this guy had done videos supporting Hitler in the Holocaust, and has videos to this day on YouTube supporting Hitler in the Holocaust. By the way, YouTube doesn't remove his videos. His videos are not racist, according to YouTube. This is a Jewish guy who supports Hitler in the Holocaust. And he let him stay on, and let him stay on, and let him remain. The only time he finally got rid of him is because I started doing videos condemning. I was doing videos condemning them for this. And so he said, okay, I'll remove him. He says, but please stop doing videos against us. That's Itamar Ben-Gvir. What a phony, what a fraud, what a disgrace. And this is what passes for Kahanism? What a disgrace, what a chilul Hashem, what a desecration of God's name. That the true one leader who spoke the truth, that his positions are now completely distorted by this phony fraud. And he now backs a law, Itamar Ben-Gvir. He insists upon backing a law to protect. His nose is so far up Netanyahu's tuchus. I mean, this is a guy who is sucking up to Netanyahu more than any other politician I've ever seen. And a lot of the Likud, he is the biggest Likudnik. He now backs a law to protect Netanyahu. You know there are several indictments against Netanyahu. There are at least three indictments against him, and he's being investigated on other corruption charges. And by the way, his corruption, the fact that he's a crook, which Netanyahu is a crook, but the fact that he's a crook, the fact that he's corrupt, the fact that he's done these corrupt things, that's the least of his crimes. His real worst crimes are the crimes of treason against the Jewish people. In any event... Itamar Ben-Gvir now supports passing a law that will retroactively protect Netanyahu from being prosecuted for any corruption or any other charges. And not only Netanyahu, he wants to protect Aryeh Deri from the Shas party. Aryeh Deri, who together with his political party Shas were responsible for the Oslo agreements that brought Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, and 80,000 armed Arab, Muslim, Nazi terrorists into the land of Israel. And Shas and Aryeh Deri supported that agreement, the Oslo agreements, and now Aryeh Deri already spent 3.5 years in prison on prior corruption charges, and now he's back at it again, and he's being investigated again for corruption. And Aryeh Deri, Itamar Ben-Gvir wants to protect Aryeh Deri, and wants to protect Benjamin Netanyahu from any possible criminal charges. He wants a law that protects them. What a farce. Unfortunately, as I mentioned to you earlier, according to the polls, Itamar Ben-Gvir is going to get into the Knesset. his party will probably get four or five seats. You need a minimum of four to get in. The poll, latest polls, they all show him. They all show the party getting four or five seats. And so, sadly, he probably will be in the Knesset and continue to do the desecration of God's name that we see. And that's really why we need a JTF to respond and to say, no, you don't represent Kahanism and you don't represent the right, and none of the politicians in Israel are truly right-wing and are truly representing what the Jewish people need. Someone has to say that. Someone has to say that. Because no one says that. No one. Except for us. Now, Rabbi Kahana's grandson, Meir Ettinger, criticized and condemned Itamar Ben-Gvir's statement. But Meir Ettinger is... he's banned. He can't run for anything. So you have some voices of truth in Israel. But they're... you know, they silence these people. Because Israel doesn't... Israel is a democracy. It's not a democracy. You can do anything you want. You have a license to kill if you're an Arab. If you're an Arab or a leftist, you can do anything you want. You'll never be prosecuted. If you're a loyal right-wing Jew, you can't even breathe in Israel. That's the way the country is run. Which is what they're doing to America. Just like what they... in other words, think of it this way. What they're trying to do in America... where they're shutting up anybody who doesn't agree with the leftist agenda in America, the politically correct left-wing agenda in America. For instance, you're not allowed to say anything against black Nazi Lives Matter. If you say anything against black Nazi Lives Matter, you lose your job, you can't do anything, you face all types of sanctions, you're banned from all the major social media sites. You're finished. If you dare to say anything against the Nazi agenda of Black Nazi Lives Matter. And just imagine that now, but imagine that far worse. In Israel, that's been codified into law. They use the law to prosecute people who dare to go against the politically correct views of the establishment. That's the way Israel operates. That's why we've got to protest and we've got to be against them. And that's what JTF does. That's why JTF is reaching the Jews of Israel with our advertising campaign, our Hebrew videos and our advertising campaign. It really is necessary. It really is necessary. Someday, they're all going to see that Rabbi Kahana was right and that his true defenders and true loyal supporters, like JTF, were right all along. They're going to see... Someday everybody's going to see that. But right now, there's nobody to even bring that message to Jews, except for us. So what we're doing is important. And if other people arise in Israel that are able to bring the message, we'll be the first ones to support them. We'll be the first ones to do everything we can to back them. So that's the situation. Netanyahu probably will probably win the election on Tuesday, unfortunately. He'll probably win another term. To continue to do bad things for Israel, on every front he is bad for Israel, on every front, on every count. He's freezing Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. He's allowing the Iranians to build nuclear bombs and doing nothing about it except giving speeches. He's doing everything he can to protect the evil Israeli far-left Supreme Court from issuing rulings like they issued. Legitimizing the so-called reform and conservative movements, which are assimilationist, treasonous, intermarriage movements aimed at destroying the Jewish people. Everything bad that you can imagine, Netanyahu is on the wrong side. He runs on the opposite side in the election. He runs like a right-winger. And as soon as the election's over, immediately, he sides with the left and backs the positions of the left. And again and again and again, the Jews fall for this. And Itamar Ben-Gvir is the first one to support him and say, oh, we need him. He's a right-wing government. We have to preserve the right-wing government. So we want Netanyahu to lose this election. And we want Itamar Ben-Gvir to lose. Unfortunately, both of them are probably going to win. But, again, remember, Hashem, God, is still in charge. And someday, you'll see someday that I'm right. Someday the good guys whose voices are being silenced, who are not allowed to make aliyah, who are not allowed to speak, who were murdered like Rabbi Kahana, someday all those good guys that have been faced such injustice all these years, for so many years, someday everyone will see they were right and someday the good guys will win. That will happen someday, and there will be justice and righteousness and truth. And all the forces of opportunism and phoniness and fraud, all of these individuals will be ashamed of the fact that, and will be horrified and ashamed and horrified of the consequences of their actions. That will happen. That will yet happen. I don't know if it'll happen in my life. I mean, I'm 64 years old. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime. But it certainly will happen eventually. That great awakening will come because the prophets of the Bible promise us that the Jewish people will eventually turn around and wake up, that there's going to be complete evil and complete darkness before the final redemption, which is what we have now, when Israel comes back and the Jews come back. Complete evil and complete darkness, but then a great awakening will take place. Okay. Second subject we want to deal with is the subject that came up when a mentally unbalanced 21-year-old kid from Atlanta went out and decided to start shooting and killing people in massage parlors in Atlanta. And, you know, I'm not a fan of massage parlors, and I'm not a fan of filth and immorality by any means. But this guy was crazy. He murdered 8 people. 6 of them were Asian women, because a lot of these massage parlors, a lot of the people work there are Asian women. In any event, this was immediate, because he's white and because most of his victims in this case, 6 out of the 8 victims in this case were Asian, this was immediately turned into an example of white supremacy and the white racism by the media, even though there is absolutely no indication. In fact, all the evidence seems to point to the fact that this guy did not have a racial motivation. That this guy did this, this is a 21-year-old crazy kid who did this for reasons that had nothing to do with race. Nothing to do with race. I mean, he was mentally unbalanced, no question about it, but he didn't care about, it wasn't because of a racial, if they were white, he would have killed them too. He was just a nut job. Now, having said that, all of a sudden, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the left-wing media are all talking about anti-Asian hate. What a nerve these two-faced, low-life hypocrites are. They talk about anti-Asian hate. Most of the anti-Asian violence comes from blacks who are jealous because Asians came here. And blacks can say, well, You can easily mix in with the whites, and you know, that's what they used to say to the Jews. You can mix in with the whites, and you know, so you don't face the same discrimination we face, which is always baloney. The Asians certainly can't mix in and pretend to be white. The Asians come here. They don't speak a word of English. They speak a language completely different. Many of them are illiterate. They come from China and all these other countries in Asia. And their children already are going to universities and scoring higher even than white. They're scoring higher than white students on the tests, which is not that much of a compliment, because now in this generation, most students are dumb. This is a generation where most of the people in this generation are dumb. Okay, the education system has succeeded in dumbing down the American people. And the dumbest of the dumb are the blacks, who are, and again, when I say the blacks, I'm referring to most. Of course, there are exceptions. There are exceptions, but not many. Not many. Most of them have low IQs, low test scores, are lazy, get in solely because of their race, and get in everywhere and get everything and nonstop promoted by society, nonstop, every where you turn, all they do is promote them. Now, the blacks, most blacks hate Asians because they're jealous. Because the Asians succeed. They come here, they want to fulfill the American dream, and they succeed. And they're able to succeed. And blacks who live here 400 years don't know how to scratch their tuchuses. I mean, they're still on the level of swinging from trees. Most of them. And most of them are on that level. Sorry, but they are. Over 80% of black children are born out of wedlock. are illegitimate. Their own fathers abandon them. Their own fathers don't give a damn about their own kids. What type of community and society is that? Do they ever expose that on all the shows, glorifying them, how wonderful, how noble they're supposed to be, on all the TV shows, all the Hollywood, everything, the whole media, constantly, how wonderful, how glorious, how noble, we should be saluting them, they're wonderful. They're jealous, cruel, hateful, lazy, low IQ, criminal supporting, and when I say criminal supporting, most of them have criminal records. And don't tell me, well, Chaim, you have a criminal record too. Yeah, I went to prison for 5.5 years to help my brothers and sisters in the Soviet Union, to save Soviet Jewry, which is the most noble and just cause you can have, saving the Jewish people. Okay, I didn't go to prison for rape and murder and selling poison to kids and doing the other things that black people go to prison for. And you know, the left also speaks about anti-Asian hatred. What a nerve. Do they ever talk? If it was a black guy that had committed these murders, would they be talking about the massive anti-Asian hatred now? Of course not. Then the issue would be dropped like a hot potato. And look at who really is engaged in the worst type of anti-Asian discrimination and hatred. The affirmative action system. Affirmative action because Asians would dominate the universities. It used to be Jews would dominate the universities, but now Jews don't have babies in the United States anymore. They're disappearing. The Jews were 1% of American youth in the 1950s and 1960s. About 1% of American youth were Jewish. Just about 1%, 99% were not Jewish. And yet the Jews were 70 to 80% of the students in Princeton, Harvard, Yale, all the big Ivy League schools. I mean, it's just a community of geniuses. What can you do? And that caused a wave of hatred and jealousy from the blacks, especially. And then the self-hating Jews, all the Jewish anti-Semites said, no, we can't have this. It's not right. You have to let them in. So instead of brilliant Jews in Harvard and Princeton and Yale, you had, we're going to have now a program on African studies and African history and unemployment in the ghetto. I mean, Mickey Mouse courses at the greatest universities in the Western world. This is what it turned into. This is part of the dumbing down of American society. And whites are not allowed to be intelligent anymore. Because if whites are intelligent, or Jews are intelligent, or Asians are intelligent, if they show their intelligence, then the blacks with the low IQs feel uncomfortable. They don't feel comfortable. They make fun, they laugh, they ridicule intelligent people. Because they're not intelligent. Because they're jealous. They can't stand it when someone is intelligent. And so we have affirmative action now. What is affirmative action? Affirmative action discriminates against Asians. Asian students are barred in many cases. Most can't get into the big universities. Some of them get in anyway because they're just so brilliant and so, you know, they just get in because some of them are really good in certain, especially in certain subjects, they're really, really good. But the reality is that because of affirmative action, Jewish students, especially Jewish students, that's number one on the list that they don't want. And then Asian students, they are discriminated against in the worst way possible. Whereas black students automatically get in. Arab and Muslim students automatically get in. Oh, that automatically. Transgender and other perverted people, they get in automatically. The transgender and the homosexuals and the other mental cases and perverts. They get in automatic. That's another category of for affirmative action, by the way. That if someone has that perversity, has those tendencies to be perverted, that's an automatic ticket to get in now. And you can, and again, you can't say anything. You say anything against that at the agenda of the sodomites, That's the end of you. You're not allowed to express an opinion. You're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to say, you're certainly not allowed to say what the Bible says about them. What the Bible says is the truth. That's God telling us the truth about them. That you're certainly not allowed to do. If religious Jews or religious Christians or any other religious group try to help these people to overcome their perversion and their mental illness, tries to help them, it's outlawed again now. You are not, they call it conversion therapy. You're not allowed to try to tell homosexuals that they could be normal. You're not allowed, or to try to help them be normal if they want to be. You're not allowed. That's against the law. Against the law. What type of free country is this? How could that be against the law? You know, in the 1960s, up until the 60s and the 70s, huge numbers of homosexuals went to psychiatrists and psychologists trying to change, wanting to change. And some of them did change. Many of them succeeded in changing. It is really, really a pathetic situation. But everything we're told by the media is a lie. Even the so-called opposition media like Fox News, it's supposed to be right-wing, that's controlled opposition. They don't really give you the true right-wing message. It's all baloney. It's all baloney. People who will tell you the real truth are on the utter margins of society, like JTF. We're pushed to the margins because we tell you the real truth. But you want to know something? Because of the way our society has become so evil, the people on the margins are actually, with their message, are actually the most important people in society, because that's the only place where you're going to get the truth. Because deep down, most people know that we're right. Most people know that we're right, deep down. In your heart, you know we're right. And in your guts, you know they're nuts. We're going to continue to tell the truth and stand up for the truth and continue to fight for what's right. And we'll have opportunities, God willing, to bring our truth to as many. The money we spend, our budget, is all only bringing the truth to Israeli Jews. That's where we spend our budget. We speak about American subjects like we just did now with the anti-Asian hatred, the true anti-Asian haters. We speak about American subjects on programs like this. But our budget, our money, is spent only in Israel on trying to wake up Israeli Jews, because that's where the action really is in terms of the final redemption. And so we're going to have our opportunities to make a difference, God willing. And we need you there to help us. We need you there to fight for the truth and fight for what's right now more than ever. If we stick together and fight together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.